No one really knows Ron Van Dam. He's an enigma, wrapped in a mystery, cloaked in secrets, stuffed in between two pieces of French toast encased in a pancake, smothered in cheese and deep-fried until golden brown, then duct-taped into a rusty toolbox, packed into a used Amazon shipping container with gaffer's tape, and mailed overnight to a bunker in Siberia where it's kept in a locked vault, whose combination is known only to a mute priest with a bad memory. So yeah, he's sort of a keeps-to-himself kind of guy. You're listening to that man of mystery, Ron Van Dam, on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? No, I'm not that. No, I'm not him. Oh, never mind. Well, thanks for being here. I'll announce the winners at the end of the program. Not that I'm having a contest. If I announce winners, it doesn't make any difference. There's no prizes, so that won't be much fun. Here are the winning daily numbers from yesterday. Get your tickets out. Here we go. 17, 33, 72, 167, 2,579, 15,923, 55,299 and 1,673,521, and the Powerball is 7. Thanks for stopping by. I really appreciate it. Yeah, right. Well, it is December 1st, 1927. Obviously, the show is pre-recorded. Obviously, I was not around in 1927. If I was, I'd be wearing a special kind of diaper. No. I want to dedicate this show to millennials who listen to this program anyway, but probably don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Good to be with you. We also have a lot of listeners with the Generation X, Generation P, Generation W, good people, and of course the Cow Wranglers Association of America, a special group which I founded because I lost it. I always want to correct those that say I founded this company in 1973. There's no such word. You can't founded something. You found the company, but how could you? It was founded. I lost my toothbrush, but I founded it in the bathroom. That's not proper grammar. Anyway, welcome to the show. By the time the program is over, either you will have learned something or have not. You choose which one it's going to be. Because this show is actually educational.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
And that's because they said it was. But it's not. How are you, huh? We're getting into the shortest day of the year. Yeah, the sun rises later and it sets earlier. The length of today, for example, will only be 17 and a half minutes. So enjoy the sunshine. Unfortunately, it'll be cloudy as well. And that's why people have seasonal depression. Actually, that's not why. It's because you got to get depressed about something, so I'll blame it on the seasons. I have leaf-blowing depression. I got an email from my landscaping company. No, I'm not rich, but I am not going to bend down and pick up leaves. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. Certain things are worth the money. That's one of them. I am not raking leaves. So the next day I wake up, look out the window, and the trees have put more leaves on the area that I just raked. I'm not going through that anymore. Maybe when I was younger, I needed the exercise. I don't need it anymore. I'm not doing it. So I get this email from my landscaper asking me if I would like what they call a final mow. I don't know what that is. I thought of the Three Stooges immediately and realized it had nothing to do with them. Apparently, I have my lawn mowed once a week because the grass keeps growing. It's another one of those situations where you get it done, and then like a couple of days later, it's like I never did it. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm through with those kinds of things. Ron, it's called maintenance. Well, screw maintenance, okay? Just screw maintenance. The whole department. Screw the whole department. Anyway, so they said to me in the email, Ron, would you like a final mow? And it sounded like, whoa, this sounds like a funeral here, huh? This is like a wake for my lawn. But I looked out my window and more leaves had fallen, and yeah, I want a final mow. It's going to cost me $100. And my immediate reaction was, $100? See, they come over and they blow on the leaves. They don't use a leaf blower. They're very meticulous. It's a group of 20 men they send out, and they just blow hard until the leaves move a little bit. It's fascinating to watch. It's like the running of the bulls. Anyway, so I didn't answer them yesterday because I had to sleep on it, because this is a major decision. Parting with $100 to move some leaves? I don't know. But then I realized with inflation and everything, $100 is not a lot of money anymore. And that's what I wanted to talk about today on the show. $100 used to be a lot of money. $100, what are you kidding me? I'm going to have to second mortgage my home. $100, that's a lot of money. Now, it's not. Just to have a plumber or an electrician or somebody, anybody, show up in my house to do some work, before they even do any work, it costs me $100 for them to walk inside my house. I mean, they should be paying me. Ron, can I come in your house? Sure, $100, please. Or is this like a tour, like a museum? Yes, it is. So $100 is not a lot of money anymore. And of course, to a lot of people listening to this show, Ron, $100 is still a lot of money. Well, no, it's not. In the scheme of things, it's not. $100 is not a lot of money. And that's scary. That's scary. I think we can all go back in time, even millennials. I know. How far back can a millennial go? 6 minutes? You know, I make fun of millennials because I have nothing else to do. That's the only reason. It's the only reason. Ron, or what do you want to do today? Or you look bored. I guess I'll make fun of millennials. I don't know. I don't know how far back they go, but when things were less expensive, I was watching a television, the Dick Van Dyke Show. It was a show that was in black and white. That's how old the show is. It was, I think, 1964, 63, something like that, when the show was maybe 66. I don't know. I'm watching it now because you can watch shows now that go back to that time period, and it's fascinating. And they're still entertaining, but it's fascinating because there was one scene where Laura Petrie Mary Tyler Moore played the role of Laura Petrie. Stop me if I'm boring you. Okay, I'll stop then. Oh, okay. She went to a grocery store, and on the wall there was a big sign, and it said ground beef, 95 cents a pound. And she was complaining in the little sketch they were doing, in a little, you know, in the show. She was complaining to the butcher, what, 97 cents for ground beef? That's ridiculous. That price is insane. It's way too much money for beef. And I'm thinking, man, have times changed now? I went to a supermarket yesterday in the area in which I live. I live in Massachusetts, which is a very expensive state to live in. Very expensive. It really is. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to live here. Everything's inflated, except for the Christmas decorations. They're deflated on people's lawns. But everything else is inflated. I go into this supermarket and wanted to have a steak. The little woman wanted a steak. I call her a little woman because I'm a little taller than her. She wanted a steak. So I go into the supermarket with my little shopping cart. Look, I look adorable with a shopping cart. I look like I'm doing something. I'm rolling something around. I'm creating personal transportation of whatever I buy. So I go to the butcher counter and I'm looking around and I just want a steak. I just want a little, you know, a petite sirloin, not a big sirloin, a petite one. And I'm looking at the prices, $12 a pound, $12 a pound for a steak that kind of shrinks a little bit when you cook it. $12 a pound. Laura Petrie would have a cow. Oh, actually, that makes sense. Prices are inflated, but they always have been. I could do a show on this subject every single year, and it would still be effective because every year prices go up pretty much. That's my problem. That's my problem. What the hell, right? I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later on in the program, and it's kind of extremely interesting, and I'll tell you why it's interesting. Remember the Lion King? Has nothing to do with the Lion King whatsoever. Remember the Tiger King? Yeah, that was very popular for a while. It was a focus. It was an HBO thing, I believe. The mistreatment of these leopards and tigers and things like that. Dr. Bagabon Antle was one of the evil people, the lion tamer, the animal tamer who abused animals, apparently is now serving time in jail. He was on my television show back in the 90s. And if you want to watch that, go to YouTube. And search Another Night Show or Dr. Bagabon Antle or something like that. And you'll find it. You'll find the interview, and he brought animals on the show and the whole bit. Well, apparently, this is another series about that, kind of an update. And my guest today are the people of PETA. They make the bread, the PETA bread. Very, very tasty, actually. No, PETA is the the animal protection people. They're on the show quite frequently here because I do believe in the protection of animals. They should all wear condoms, don't you think? Oh, Ron, please just get on with it and stop doing these little side comments. They're confusing everybody, especially the millennials. So anyway, that's who my guest is today, and we're going to talk about this new, I guess, season or series of The Tiger King, I believe is what it was called. My memory isn't good anymore, by the way. It never was, you see. It never was. I am now in a situation where I walk into rooms and I say to myself, why did I come in here? Oh, why did I come in here? But I remember fairly quickly. There are still people walking around 10 years later trying to figure out what they're doing in the room. I'm not really bad off. And I don't think it's my age. I just think I really kind of, you know. Aren't you in the same boat? Don't you question your age sometimes? Like, oh, my God, I'm becoming very forgetful. No, you always were forgetful. Now, in some cases, yes, age can cause forgetfulness. But in most cases, you always forgot stuff. You're just realizing it, and you're putting two and two together and blaming it on your age. No, you were always disorganized. You never knew where you were. Don't blame it on your age, my God. I wanted to talk about Dr. Oz today. Do you know who he is? Dr. Oz has had a television show for quite some time where he hawks products and probably makes money from doing that in the guise of a information television show. It's not really. Dr. Oz is not a bad person, necessarily. He is one of the offshoots of the Oprah thing. As you know, Oprah created Dr. Phil, and for that I will never forgive her. And she also created Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz is a Republican, but a moderate one. I can handle moderate anything. I like moderate, because moderate means I'm not extreme. I can listen to you. I can understand what you're saying to some extent. Moderate's a good thing. You want to eat moderately. You want to drink moderately. Moderate's good. And that goes for political moderation on both ends of the aisle, both parties. But Dr. Oz is a Republican, and he wants to run for Senate, representing the fine state of Pennsylvania. Because there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in Pennsylvania right now, and it's all Bill Cosby's fault, apparently. So Dr. Oz is running for a congressional seat. And he claims that the pandemic has been handled all wrong. I believe the person who handled it wrong the most would be Trump, but whatever. He apparently was even appointed by Trump to be on, Dr. Oz was on Trump's medical staff or, you know, medical advisory staff. So I don't know, whatever. Better to have a Republican moderate in there than an extreme anybody. So good luck to you, Dr. Oz. You are nothing but a product of Oprah. You are her offspring. Let's face it. It's something odd about a television personality wanting to have a Senate seat or to serve their country in a congressional manner. Although I have admitted on previous programs that I would love to be Pope. I have sent the Vatican a number of letters, resumes, even with pictures. Even some of my pictures I sent to the Vatican, figuring, you know, they're looking for someone that represents the religion. I happen not to be their religion, but I'm moderate. I would love to be Pope. I'm sick of choosing what clothing I'm going to wear all the time, and I'm not into wearing robes, but on the other hand, not a bad idea. I like going out into the balcony of my bedroom and addressing hundreds of thousands of people, easier than doing this. And I would be the comedy pope, and I think that's what we need right now, a little humor in our religion. So, but they refuse to respond to my emails. By the way, do you know the email for the Vatican? It's pope.com. I know. They must have grabbed that domain rather quickly. And if you want to get pope.com for yourself, it costs a lot of money. So I tried pope.org, taken. Pope.tv, taken. They're all taken. Anyway, all right, fine. All right, what do you want from me? What do you want from me, really? My guest joins us momentarily. And we'll get into that Tiger King thing. Should be fascinating. Probably will be. We'll find out. In the meantime, well, it is expensive to get a handyman to come into the house and take care of your handyman needs. Except for this guy.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Brittany Pete is Deputy General Counsel for PETA, the Foundation's Captive Animal Law Enforcement Division. And we've spoken to PETA frequently, and we're talking actually about the subject matter as well. This goes back to something that was in the news a couple of years ago as far as the treatment of animals, especially some interesting animals. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, the nation was going into lockdown, and around the same time, Netflix premiered a new docuseries called Tiger King. And that series shone a light on the abuse of tigers, lions, and tiger-lion hybrids, such as ligers, who are used in what's called the big cat cub petting industry, which is when baby big cat cubs are taken away from their mothers, usually the same day that they're born, and used in lucrative public encounters. They can only be used for a few months before they're too large to be able to be safely used in encounters with the public. And at that point, they're either killed, they're used in the cycle of breeding that's necessary for this industry, or they're just relegated to sad roadside zoo cages for the rest of their lives, which can be 20 years or more.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a change in awareness thanks to that docuseries, which is kind of resurfacing a bit now. It's interesting, Brittany, that back in the late 80s, early 90s, we had Bhagavan Antle on our program quite a few times. He came up to this area in Massachusetts frequently for these Renaissance fairs, and he would bring the ligers and all these animals with him. And at that point, nobody was thinking twice about it, and it's like now it's like a 180. It's like, whoa, that was not right. And I understand he's still undergoing some great scrutiny legally.
Yeah, absolutely. Since the first season of Tiger King aired, nearly every single villain is either in prison, out of business, or facing lawsuits or charges. And Antle himself is facing felony charges in Virginia, both for trafficking in endangered species and for cruelty to animals relating to his alleged purchase and abuse of lion cubs. That he acquired in Virginia for use in cub petting encounters.
Yeah, I mean, we've all often said the more the public can actually see this abuse, the more they would be outraged. And that's this is a good example of how that can occur. Is there indeed another series coming up that opens this box again?
That's right. Tiger King Season 2 premiered on Netflix on November 17th, so it is available for people to watch now. And with the last season, Tiger King exposed the cruel practices of the cub petting industry, and PETA ran with it. We used every opportunity that we could to publicize cubs languishing in mud at Jeff Lowe's roadside zoo, influencers posing with dangerous big cats at Doc Antle's, and now season two is here, and we're ready yet again to take advantage of the buzz, and we're going to drive the nail into the coffin of the cub petting industry for good.
Yeah, it's what it takes. It's been remarkable, all these roadside circuses and zoos and demonstration cages have pretty much gone by the wayside in most parts of the country. There's definitely a change. We know the circus isn't even the same anymore. So these impacts are successful. It just, unfortunately, they take so much time that by the time they become mainstream, a lot of damage has been done. But things are moving a lot quicker. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And one of the things that we all really need to be thinking about right now is why was this abuse allowed to occur for so long? The U.S. Department of Agriculture has jurisdiction over the Federal Animal Welfare Act that's supposed to ensure the humane treatment of animals.
Yeah.
But for decades, they've turned a blind eye to this obvious abuse, and so it's fallen to advocacy organizations like PETA.
Yeah.
To step in. And so we filed lawsuits against some of the worst abusers in this industry, including Tim Stark, who people will see in season two of Tiger King. And we've won. We've so far won two lawsuits, finding that prematurely separating big cat cubs from their mothers and using them in encounters with the public actually violates the Federal Endangered Species Act, because the lions, tigers, and hybrids that are used in these encounters are actually federally protected under the ESA as well. So we've gotten that wonderful ESA precedent on the books, and we've also rescued dozens of big cats from Tiger King villains.
Excellent.
So we're making great progress.
Excellent. It's things are really changing, and that's due to PETA and the education of the public. I mean, those roadside situations were going downhill financially, and that's really what stops it. Unbelievably, it's not the humanity of it; it's the financial situation that makes these things go away. But that's a lot of the public saying.
That's absolutely right.
But that's the public saying, "I'm not going to that anymore." And when the numbers drop off, they have to shut down. So it works. It works. Okay.
Yeah, we could shut down every single roadside zoo in the country if members of the public would simply stop going.
Yes.
But one thing that we need everyone to do right now is to call on your federal representatives and senators and make sure that they are supporting the Big Cat Public Safety Act.
Yeah.
That's a bill that's pending in both houses of Congress right now. It would not only ban private ownership of big cats, so your neighbor wouldn't be able to have a tiger in their backyard, which in many places is shockingly legal right now.
Whoa.
But it would also ban public contact with big cats.
Mm.
So the big cat cub petting industry could be completely wiped out with the swipe of a pen, and it would become a crime to engage in that activity.
Brittany, let me ask you, where does PETA stand with large zoos that have... where the animals can roam rather freely? I mean, I've seen a lot of zoos transform from the cement floor in the cages to these large roaming fields where the public can still see them, but they are free to roam. Is that still considered not cool, or is that something that PETA says, okay, that's acceptable?
PETA's position is that wild animals belong in the wild, but when they can't be, such as when they're ill or injured or habituated to humans, which is the case for basically every wild and exotic animal under human care in the United States, then they do belong in those types of environments where they're able to engage in natural behaviors.
Okay.
And PETA places animals that are confiscated as a result of our lawsuits or other negotiations in facilities like that, where there are large spaces that are like their natural territories, where animals, tigers can be tigers and bears can be bears.
Excellent. Okay. I assume that to get more information on any of this, it's PETA.org. Seems kind of simple. Is it that simple?
Absolutely. There is so much more information about all of this on PETA.org. Mm-hmm. And if people search PETA.org and Big Cat Public Safety Act, it will take you directly to a form that will look up your federal legislators, and you can contact them right there and urge them to support the Big Cat Public Safety Act.
Excellent. Hey, Brittany, thanks for doing what you do, by the way. I don't know how many people thank you for that, but it makes a difference in not only the lives of the animals, but in human beings as well. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Should be fascinating. Should be. Doesn't mean it necessarily will, but it should be. Because that's the idea of it, for it to be fascinating and entertainment. It should be that, but it may not be. But it should be. And that's what's important. It's not the gift. It's the thought that counts. I thought I'd get you a nice gift, but I didn't. But the thought is what counts. So why bother you giving you a nice gift? Why bother? Because it's the thought that counts, not the gift. So forget it. I had a good thought, and you're welcome. Until tomorrow, I wish you peace.